Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
Welcome to another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valera. On today's episode, we are going to dive back into the Sir Lounge for episode 5 of season 2 of Vanderpump Rules. We'll also be talking about Lego Masters season 5, episode 2, which is coincidentally enough, weirdly enough, a flip-flop of where we are in Vanderpump. We're in season 5, episode 2 of Lego Masters, season 2, episode 5 of Vanderpump Rules. I just realized that. That's for literally nobody to even care about, just me noticing. But I am joined by my podcast partner here, Mr. Matthew Fox. How are you?
I'm doing good. You know, I think we needed the music for a very special episode of the Love and Reality Podcast based on our fifth episode here, which was, I'm going to say, kind of a downer and also kind of strange.
It was very strange in so many different dynamics, very much a downer. Any episode, in my opinion, that can make me feel empathy and sorrow and sadness for Jax Taylor is definitely an episode that you can expect to be like, what did I just watch? Because what we do each week here, folks, is we normally do like, we'll watch it, we'll share some notes about certain things that will, you know, the hot topics of the episode we'll talk about. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, I didn't take a whole lot of notes, and I was like, what? Like, obviously there's two big things to talk about, right? We have the surprise party for Gilmore, which was a something. And then of course the potential of Jax Taylor having breast cancer, and both sides of the fence. I'm watching, I'm feeling empathy towards the ladies.
Yeah, like they've really stretched the bounds, especially since they're located in California, of what's permissible in a workplace.
Right.
I mean, you're asking your employees as part of the discharging of their duties on a night at work? I mean, the original plan was, you know, they had that whole conversation about whether they were going to have pasties or just go full nude because the guy's French. And I'm like, really? Also, I'm 99% sure in California you need a special license if you're going to have nudity in a publicly occupied building.
Hey, who knows if that was in place in 2013, okay? You know what I mean? Who knows?
I mean, California has been uptight for decades, so I'm pretty sure, like, I'm pretty sure burlesque and strip joints have special licensing to allow that. So when they were talking about just in the middle of a place where, hey, you're serving food, you're just going to have the servers like strip down and do a dance. They've done some dubious things. I thought that photo shoot was kind of dubious, but this might be an even more dubious step.
Yeah, this was the icing on the cake. All right, so Vanderpump Rules, Season 2, Episode 5, called Surlesque. Now look how cute that is. Hey. Yeah. Lisa enlists Stassi and Katie to perform a sexy dance at Gilmore's surprise burlesque birthday party. Jax is confronted with a health scare but receives scorn instead of sympathy from Stassi. Then Kristen picks a fight to stop gossiping about Tom and the new bartender, which that to me... is, and I'm going to start off there, is one of the more misleading things of the entire thing. It was a minor confrontation, which, I mean, I will say, congrats for Kristen to standing on business. I'm not mad at her for it because I forget her name. What was her name? She's like a Danielle.
Oh, yeah, Danielle.
She's like an anomaly piece of the puzzle here, but she was kind of gossiping about Tom and Ariana in front of everybody. And continues to say, oh, well, they looked smitten by one another by while they were making their drinks. So I think they're banging. And it's like, calm down. Okay. First off, shut up. You know what I mean? Like, stop trying to get on TV because that's what this feels like, right? Like, we might have seen Danielle in the background of a couple episodes here or there. She might have showed up to a party or two or something. I don't really remember. However, she's been in the forefront of the last two episodes, and the only thing she's had to say was Tom and Ariana, Tom and Ariana, Tom and Ariana. They looked cozy as he was training her on how to make specific drinks at the Sir Lounge.
Yeah.
I just...
They're trying to... So, it feels like at this point in the season, they're trying to manufacture drama where there isn't a lot that exists. Like, it starts out with Danielle sharing her gossip insights to Lisa while Tom's there, and he's like, oh really? You, like, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be a part of this. What are you doing to me? So far that's, you know, the both last week and this week have been more fizzle than sizzle in terms of manufacturing. It's been mostly people trying to pick it. Kristen, you know, last week was Stassi picking at her at lunch, and now it's some other, like you said, person that we've seen a couple of times. It's not that interesting so far.
No, and that's the thing. Like, that's the thing with this episode is we're, you're right, it feels like we are manufacturing some sort of drama because it's almost dying. Like, the whole Jack, I'm over Jackson Stassi, and this episode only proves that. And we'll talk more about that in a few moments, obviously. But outside of that, we're bringing in, I think the whole purpose of Ariana coming in, though, was to add some more drama, even though she's just there to be the bartender of the new spot, not there for drama, quote unquote. But I mean, through two episodes of being fully on a show, also, she's not involved in the drama. Her name, let me fix that first. Hang on. She's not the drama. The people around her are in trying to entice her into the drama there. But
it just feels like this episode lost a little bit of, you know, maybe it looks like it got a 7.8 from fans, which isn't too bad. But there are certain things that you and I were interested in or drawn to in the first season, and this season has felt like it moved away from that. It feels already repetitive. The last couple episodes, I honestly thought have felt mean-spirited at times, which is the best way to describe the, you know, the Jack storyline and the kind of cattiness that's going on. Like, Kristen's not my favorite character, but they've definitely, people have been pretty unkind.
Yeah, it even dates back to the episode where Tom was performing. That episode was even still, I mean, it's just been the little
nudges, the Big Bear.
Yeah, like, there's been little nudges of just consistently poking and poking and poking. And that continues. And it's crazy because the poking comes from an individual who A, is an asshole, and B, has her own relationship problems that with Jack. You know what I mean? Stassi is the leader of the clubhouse here because she's has to feel protective.
You think back to the end of season one, and she's really upset with Kristen for not being a good friend and not being supportive. And all Kristen did was ask a couple of questions. And right. Stassi's like outright a few times, even going back to the first season when they were on that photo shoot, trying to stir up trouble, and then, you know, constantly at her. I liked the interview with, I think it was Katie, better, where she said, you know, I don't understand it, but if that's the choice she wants to make, then, you know, We're just going to support her.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? That's it at the end of the day. Like, if she's taking back Tom, she's taking back Tom. We've
all taken back Tom. Yeah, if they seem happy together, then why continuously try to stir up problems?
I did say this, that there was a weird thing that I don't know about you, but I think I've gone 2 or 3 times to get my passport photo. And not one time have I ever felt the need to feel hot for my photo. 2, you're not even allowed to, like...
I don't think you can smile. I had to go look at mine.
No, I just, so this is funny. That funny that just popped up. I literally just got mine.
It's like a prison photo.
You have to sit there. Like, because I literally had to go renew mine this year. I didn't realize that mine had expired. And I've planned on trying to make a trip to Canada this year. Well, I went to go look, and so I went to I think it was Walgreens. Walk into Walgreens, and they're like, "Hey, just stand there. Don't breathe. Don't move. You can't have anything on your face. You can't have anything on your head. Like, you have to literally sit there, snap a photo, and you move on with it. There's no looking pretty for a hot passport photo." But, in this moment, we also found out that Kristen sort of got a DUI. I didn't know you could sort of get a DUI. I found that quite interesting. But she looked hot in her mugshot, so that's all that really mattered, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's all that mattered to her.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I'm not even mad at her for it. You know, we're not going to dump on Kristen either. But I just thought it was interesting for the needing to get hot for the passport photos, because I had never heard that before. In my life, you can't even do that for a driver's license. You know what I mean? If you make a weird face during your driver's license, they make you retake the photo again. So, all right. Let's talk about, I don't really know if I really, there's not much to talk about the surprise party. I do think that Gilmore is living the American dream was probably one of my favorite quotes of the show, which it is interesting to hear his story. I mean, maybe that was one of the better parts of this journey here. He came over, he's a busboy, and now he's like, you know, what he is now, manager and all this stuff, his family, and which is cool to see that sort of stuff. I feel like they built up the burlesque thing, and it was underwhelming. And I guess that's what because they hired actual burlesque dancers.
Well,
so... I don't know. I lost Matthew Fox here. But it just kind of felt like an underwhelming, undercooked situation there. And what were you saying, sir?
I just thought the whole thing was uncomfortable and weird.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, even Stassi, somebody I'm not going to, you know, I don't rush to defend here, seemed quite uncomfortable herself in the scenario. But yeah, enough about that crazy scenario. Now let's pile up on Stassi a little bit. But that said, all right, so Jax calls Stassi because he doesn't have family in California. And basically more or less says that he's, you know, worried about his health. His family has a history of breast cancer. Yada, 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 yada. So... this in turn, while Stassi and Kristen are on the other line, get off the phone. All they can do is talk about how he takes too much creatine and testosterone and all of these things. And of course, they went to the number one resource in all medical issues, Google, to find out that all of these things that he's taking could be
long-serving medical practitioner, Dr. Google.
Exactly. So Stassi shows up to Jax's house in one of the most insane things I've ever seen. She has a cake for him, which would be a nice gesture. Hey, I hope you feel better. Nope. The cake says no more supplements written out on it. And then she proceeds to go into his cabinets and dump out all of his protein, all of his pills, everything. First off, we're dumping pills down the sink, which was... a sink that looked like it was had one of those things on it that
she wants him to be healthy. She doesn't give a rip about the rest of Hollywood getting that in their water supply.
No, not at all. So, I mean, I can, I mean, I know how much protein is. I know how much test is. I know how much these pills, like hundreds and hundreds of dollars of her
which
just.
Pointed out.
Yes, which he, yeah, he did point out very much so. And then they go to sit down and just talk. And then, you know, Jax's sweater line is brought up again, which we're still very much questioning what the hell that's all about. However, the man's down, right? There's no need to kick him while he's down, okay? There's not. Look, we understand Jax is not the be-all, end-all here. But so far, you know, he has, yeah, he's got his mistakes here through season 1.5 that we've watched. But she just continues to beat this man, just pummel this man while he is down. And it's just like, when Lisa's telling you that you're being a dick, I'm pretty sure you're being a dick.
Well, and interestingly enough, you know, when Jax first calls and says he's in the hospital, her first reaction is so sad. You went by yourself. Why wouldn't you have called one of us? We would have gone with you. We're your friends. We care about you. And then in multiple in-person interactions proceeds to have zero sympathy. And so you're thinking, well, this is why he didn't call you. I'm surprised he told you now. You know, maybe he would have called Tom. You know, maybe he would have been better off calling Lisa and asking her to go or anyone else, because while you said it was so sad and, you know, you wanted to be there to support him, all you're doing is negging. And that's I have. You know, obviously he made a lot of mistakes in season one. There was a lot of back and forth. But as we've progressed on, I'm constantly asking myself why he's working.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan, you pick your deductible, you even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. To all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. For your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify, visit endurancewarranty.com. Endurancewarranty.com.
So hard to be with her. I don't get the appeal. They didn't seem that great together at the beginning of last season, and then a whole bunch of things fell apart. They don't seem like they work together well at all.
No, not at all. And I was happy at the end of this episode where, you know, she pulls him aside to sit there and have that conversation. And she just continues. She's like, well, I'm sorry. And it didn't feel like an empathetic apology. And you can tell.
Well, and she only did it because Lisa made her.
Well, exactly that too. You know what I mean? Like, you know, his line of, I can take anything, but I can't take it from you. That was like a gut-wrenching line. Like, that to me was one of the just insane. Like, you can feel it. You can hear it in his voice, right? Because again, no matter what happens with the medical scare that's transpiring, right? He thinks in his head, you're always, anybody that's in his shoes, you're thinking the worst, right? You're going through a medical situation. You're thinking the absolute worst. And the one person that he wants on his side, no matter how many times we've watched him completely get just belittled and berated by her, still just wants her support, is not supporting her. So when he says, I can take anything, but I can't take it from you, you're just like, my heart ripped in 5,000 pieces for Jax.
Yeah.
Calls her out. He said he realizes he doesn't want her. And good for Jax. Now, can we move but my statement at the end of this episode,
can we move on? I mean, this would be the second time this season where we've had a definitive end to the relationship, only to probably see it.
Now,
isn't next week the parade episode? So we're gonna have back to back dubious work episodes in a row.
I did see a slight clip. I try not to watch the clips all the time for the next episode, but I did see Jax kiss another girl. So
who knows?
I mean, but
we know they don't end up together. We have years worth of evidence. Apparently,
yeah, we have a lot of that.
But it's how long? And it's the parade episode.
It is a parade episode. Yeah, I knew that too. So I'm looking forward to that. It should be interesting because we all know what happened on the first parade. Somebody put some baby oil on Sheena. Put baby oil on Jax, and that caused World War III back in 2012. So
yeah,
hopefully we don't have baby oil gate in episode season 2 episode 6. But that being said, we will transfer over to season 5 episode 2 of Lego Masters. This week's episode,
there was decidedly fewer cancer scares in this week's episode.
All right. This week, our team of Lego fanatics are tasked with building an outstanding wedding cake for some adorable Lego minifigures who are about to get married. To kick off the big day, each team will randomly select a ring box, which holds a minifigure couple whom they must make their wedding cake for. With only 4 hours to build, the teams must speak now or forever hold their peace. In the wedding cake episode that aired on Monday, May 26, Lego Masters airs Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern time on Fox and is available to stream the following day on Hulu. In our first episode, we saw Nick and Kendall get eliminated. We are down to 10 competitors, and we watched them pull out their names. So I'm going to list out the teams real quick. We had Alex and Tone teaming with Marcella and Krista, Sage and Ian with Ben and Michael, Corey and Rebecca with Anthony and Joe, Nikki and Britton with John and Justin, Ann and Luke with Maya and Jamie. And of course, we had, well, first off, wedding cake. As somebody that is consistently watching this, before we talk about the builds, I started a new thing this week where I started rating the builds myself on a scale of 1 to 10. I started getting a little crazy about it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this a little more serious. Like, I'm going to pretend I'm a judge. My first question to you, what were you kind of expecting and kind of hoping from these builds as somebody that has watched this show for 5 years now?
You know, I wanted to see something interesting. I thought this was kind of a weird challenge. I guess it was supposed to look like a cake, but I took it from the ending that they were supposed to be chronicling the relationship. It was a very short amount of time with only 4 hours. They also did something I hadn't seen before where they closed the brick pit, which I know caused a lot of consternation, but you also could completely give yourself immunity by having the tallest cake, which of course kind of throws out some of the aesthetic planning because you're always going to have one or two teams that just go for that top. There were some interesting that we were still early. You know, last episode we met probably half the teams a little bit more in depth. This week you knew you were going to meet some others. The one that made me laugh the most is, you know, we get introduced to Corey and Rebecca and it just says they're wedding DJs. And I was like, okay, wedding DJs. Well, it's like halfway through before they go through the fact they're actually married wedding DJs. I'm like, okay, so they're not just like business partners, which is the amorphous way they're getting described here. I still think there's a couple of teams we haven't really learned much about either. The Pittsburgh Pals, I don't remember much of a deep dive into them. And but this wasn't my favorite episode. I thought it was a little dry at times. We're spending a lot of time with the awkward sibling energy of Ian and Sage. Not really on that train. I did actually think the build that they picked as the best was the one that aesthetically I liked the best.
Nikki and Britton?
It was John and Justin and Nikki and Britton, where they had the Frost Queen and the Sea Captain, and it was classically white, but it did have a nice blue in there. It looked most like a cake. Props to Luke for, getting the tallest spire, but that was a weird looking one. And, Ian and Sage and Ben and Michael tried to do the same thing, and theirs ended up being a little bit strange. We always have an episode early in the season where they kind of pull the psych out and don't eliminate anyone. Usually it's the first episode, so I thought it was weird that somebody got eliminated last week and there were no eliminations. But, I thought all of them were fine. None of them were spectacular. And that's why I think it would have been harsh to eliminate those teams, because I didn't think those ones, the bottom two, I got what they were saying, but I didn't think they were that bad. Probably the biggest error was the one, like what they said, they didn't really capture the scientist aspect, which I don't know why she thought it was an oscilloscope, or why they were going for an oscilloscope. That has nothing to do with really that kind of a scientist.
Yeah, going through my notes here, just looking at some, they kind of just felt, when I think of wedding cake, I'm thinking that we're going to get a build that looks like a wedding cake, a 3 or 4 tier wedding cake. You're going to have different designs. It's going to look like a cake. And I never got that from this. And then as you said, as the cast is introducing their builds, they're like, oh, hey, this is, this is where they met. This is this. And then, oh, here's when they got proposed. And then there's at the top layer, it's like, this is their wedding. And I'm just like, what is the definition of what I thought what we were going to get, and what we ended up getting was two totally different things. But I agree with you. My favorite of the builds were the same ones that won, the Nikki Britton, John, and Justin team. I agree with you. I really felt like everybody outside of them was kind of mediocre. Cool for, Anne, Luke, Maya, and Jamie. They got the tallest build or whatever. But I was kind of disappointed in Sage and Ian, Ben Michael team up, because they're the team that were in the top two last week. And I don't know, maybe they just didn't work well together. But I also, again, struggled, because when I rated them and I was looking at them, I'm basing it off of the fact that I thought they were supposed to be wedding cakes. So I don't know. It was weird. All of it was weird.
I guess I missed the part where it was supposed to tell their love story.
I might have missed that too. But definitely a lot to be desired. But I will say this, though. Next week's episode is titled Over the Falls. And I can say this, that it is exponentially better than the previous two episodes. So.
Yeah, and I saw next week looks like one of those where they do some crashing and stuff. They had some of the scenes for next week. Usually they have like a couple of destruction ones, and I like the ones where they also have a challenge they're trying to meet, like we've spent in the past where they do a bridge and, how much weight can it hold. I saw what they were going for, trying to get the height challenge, but I think there weren't like clearly defined parameters, and we're too early in the competition and the teaming up. It was maybe a creative idea, and they definitely had a short time span, but I think you saw the limitations of it you know, early in the season, I would have been curious to see if you got a wedding cake challenge like week 6 or 7, yeah, where they've been in there for a while and they're really thinking creatively. And with the only 4 hours, you don't have a lot of time. A couple of them mentioned that, you know, you had to basically think of what your story was going to be in the first 10 minutes because you don't really have time to dawdle, and you're trying, you don't even know these people and you're trying to feel them out and work together. It was a swing. It just didn't quite connect. I thought it was one of the drier episodes I've seen.
Yeah, it definitely was. And I was kind of hoping for a little bit more whenever the idea of wedding cake came along. I thought that the complex ideas could have been a lot of fun, but 4 hours shutting the thing down, between all of that, I could see where we'd have some, a little bit of flustering here, but yeah. Have you watched anything else?
I finished season 2 of The Rehearsal. It was only 6 episodes, just a banger of a finale. I thought that was great. And Welcome to Wrexham, which is a docu-series that I enjoy quite a bit, is back. They've had 3 episodes so far. Another one will go up on Thursday night, available to stream on Friday. Second episode, they connected with a team that is co-owned by Tom Brady. So there were some fun back and forth between Rob McElhenney and Tom Brady, which I know you would have appreciated as a Tom Brady stan. Third episode I thought was really creative. They kind of made fun of their reputation. People call them Disney FC because of some various things. So they did their, they made some jokes about the Disney animated movie format and telling their story. I have liked the show surprisingly a lot since the beginning. This season's gotten off to a little bit of a slower start, but, you know, I still enjoy being along for the ride.
Yeah, and it has been renewed for another season as well. They renewed it the other day for another season.
If you can keep Ryan Reynolds participating in interviews and on your network, you're probably going to do it.
Absolutely. Destination X kicked off on NBC on Tuesday. It's hosted by Jeffrey Dean Morgan. It is a show that I enjoy quite a bit. So, give me 1 second here. I'll give you guys a synopsis of that. Basically, it's an adventure series that follows a group of people who will travel in a blacked out bus with a goal of figuring out where they are each week. I watched the first episode. I was a big fan of it. I think it's unique. It's different. It's fun. Let's see. What else is... Yeah, that's really... I think it's really about all that I'm watching in the world of reality TV. Below Deck starts next week, and then, of course, the big show, Love Island. The Ultimatum Queer Love is returning for season 2 on June 25th on Netflix. That'll be a big one. Hopefully they split that out and drop it kind of weekly-ish. Let's see. Yep. That's about it. That is about it for this week's episode of the Love and Reality Podcast. A little Vanderpump Rewind mixed in with Lego Masters. But thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we'll be back next week.
We forgot to do our MVPs.
Our MVP of the episode.
I get it, because there were, as Nick Bakay used to say, there were no winners here. But if I were picking one, my MVP is going to be Tom, because he's just trying to quietly bartend.
My MVP. Ooh. My MVP is for his final speech of the episode, is for Jax Taylor, which I have option of reneging that MVP if I see him saying anything nice to Sassy next week's episode. So he's my MVP for now.
I was tempted to go with Lisa, because it's like, yeah, I'd have some empathy. But then I remembered she was also a boss who was trying to organize a burlesque show among her employees. And, yes, you know, that's a mixed bag.
I literally did the same thing. I literally thought Lisa. I was like, Lisa, because she snapped on staff. Oh, wait a minute. Earlier in the episode, she was forcing it. Got it.
Never yeah, mind. she was giving them a hard time because they didn't want to be nude in their workplace.
Exactly. Bad MVP. Bad MVP. But yeah. So there's that, and that's it for this week's episode of the Love and Reality Podcast. We will be back next week.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again. Sally from Finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.